Welcome, family. My name is Christina. Today's sermon is called The Power of Clarity. Pastor KJ preached a sermon that gave us a lot of clarity for our relationships. This message will bless your life.
We'll get ready to jump in today. I got my best bud in the whole wide world preaching alongside me. So excited about that. Been knowing her now for 15 and a half years.
Yeah.
And been dating for 14 and a half years,
correct,
right?
Correct.
And been married for 7, going on 8 years.
Yes,
oh, Jesus.
That's it.
Don't step out with that because you get in a world of trouble. You're like, I didn't start this, and Lord, be faithful to see me through.
Oh my God.
I ain't been on the couch ever, and I ain't trying to ever get to the couch, so I got to remember these dates. But I'm doing good. I'm doing good, praise God. But been knowing her since high school, and it's been a privilege just knowing her and getting to do life with her, yeah. Ministry with her, and now I get to preach with her. So I'm excited. She's a fireball. We're excited to share with you guys. This is part 5 of the relationship playbook. Have you guys been blessed by the relationship series? Right. Have your husband like said something to you based on the series, women of God? A little bit.
Yeah.
Has she said something to you, husbands, based on the series? Okay. Don't get too loud now. Be careful out here. Be safe. Be safe, you know, and if you need to communicate with me, fellas, just blink hard twice, and I know we're on the same page,
okay? I
see
some signals.
Because I know she by you, you know, just signals, like. But we're so excited today, and we wanted to share today, and we wanted to take some time. I had a message I prepared, and I don't know, maybe I'll preach it. Maybe I'll start a podcast and talk about relationships, because I got so much to share. I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface. Is that something you guys would want to listen to? Okay, maybe we can do that then. Maybe we can start talking about that on there. But I had a message. I'll try to hit some of it today. But I wanted to do something special today. And I wanted to create an opportunity for you guys to ask questions.
Come on.
I wanted to create an opportunity for you to ask questions. I don't know if you guys can put the radio phone number on the screen. If you guys are able to do that. I want you guys to get the radio phone number. And if you have questions, we'll try to answer them. If we can get to them. Just relationships. Maybe you're single. Maybe you're in a marriage. Maybe something is tough. These questions are anonymous. No one will never know that you ask them. But if you have any questions, ask those questions. We would love to answer those and help you win in relationships. And it's so important that you win in relationships because the enemy wants to attack your relationships.
Yes.
He wants to destroy your relationships. He wants to hurt your relationships because relationships has the power that nothing else does. Relationships has the power to make you happy.
Mm.
Let me explain. In our world, people do so many things to find happiness. They get a fast car, they're not happy with it no more, they get a faster car. They get a big house, they're not happy with it no more, they get a bigger house. They get nice clothes, they're not happy with them, they get nicer clothes. And we spend our life on this orbit wheel trying to find everything that we can find to make ourselves happy. But the truth is, happiness is not a what, happiness is a who.
Come on.
Jesus gave you the key to happiness in the Great Commandment. It said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. So when you love God vertically, you love yourself inwardly, you love your neighbor outwardly, it creates this cycle that creates happiness. So if you're unhappy in life, it's always tied back to a relationship breakdown. Maybe you don't have a relationship with your kids. Maybe the relationship with your parents ain't right. Maybe the relationship with your spouse ain't right. Maybe you're single and you hate and you're like, well, my man of God. Like, I don't know your situation, but what I know is happiness is always in a form of relationships. Even your relationship with Jesus should be the anchor and the foundation to your happiness, your peace, and your joy. That's why I say love God with all your heart. You don't love God, you will not be happy. Then after loving God, because I can see God properly, I can love myself appropriately. And then when I can love myself appropriately, I can love my neighbor compassionately. But first it starts with me loving God. Do you love God? Because you will not be happy until you love God. And then after loving God, you have to love you. And then you have to love your neighbor. And my friends, that creates happiness. You can live in a box with a little bit of food and be happier than someone in a mansion if you would get those three things in order. Give God a shout of praise. So today we want to help you win with relationships. Every Sunday is about helping you win with relationships with Jesus, and Jesus has to be the foundation of all this, but we want to help you personally. I don't want to just preach abroad, but I'm going to preach direct. So let's go through some of these questions.
Yes, the first question is, what to do in a relationship if you're unequally yoked?
Woo! First
thing
is,
we start out strong.
Go back 2 sermons ago. There's a whole sermon on that. So go back and watch that. But man, I got to answer this question with the knowledge that I have. I don't know if this is a marriage situation or not, so I'm going to answer it both ways. If this is not a marriage situation, you may want to make sure you reconsider marriage until you are equally yoked. And if you're unequally yoked towards Jesus, okay, I'm going to break somebody up right now.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to break somebody up. If you're in this room and you've been invited by a gal or a guy, and you're not a follower of Jesus, they brought you here because they want you to be. And if you don't become a follower of Jesus, they will never be happy with
Uh-oh.
You. And if you don't want to be a follower of Jesus, do them the favor and end it.
Come on.
Pastor KJ, I brought him here. Yes, you did. And we're going to break y'all up. Or he going to serve Jesus. One of the two. Amen?
Amen.
So again, see, your relationship is starting off bad. She brought you here because she wants to change you, bro.
Yeah.
Well, am I enough? No, you're not enough. Why she bring you here if you was enough? She's saying you're not enough. You're not a man of God. She's bringing you here hoping that I could preach something that will make you a man of God. And if you don't want to be a man of God, you were brought here to be a man of God.
Oh.
So just leave her alone. Same thing for the women. Be a man of God or leave her alone.
Good.
Be man enough. If you can't be a man of God, be man enough to walk out her life. Because she does want to change you, and her Christ has asked her to change you, and she's going to be loyal to him before you, I hope. Because he's going to be loyal to her when you not.
Ooh. How good.
So if you're unequally yoked in dating, I would say, see, can you guys get yoked quickly or end it? And if you're married, then get canceling. And if you're in this room and you go to this church, I would love to help.
Yeah.
I would love to cancel, text to ready and phone number, set up some counseling. And we'll see, can we get you guys equally yoked and get him on a plan to grow in God. And if he's unequally yoked, just in spiritual growth, I want to tell you something, men of God. Nothing frustrates a woman of God more than following a man that don't follow Jesus. Do you know when the Bible told her to submit to you, it says, as unto the Lord. Which means if you're not submitted to the Lord, she technically don't have to submit to you. Follow me, baby. How? You ain't going nowhere. Follow you to the den so you can watch a game? Like, where am I following you to? No, God set Adam up in the beginning. God said, Adam, I'm going to give you the blueprint to win in a relationship. I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to give you some food. Like, he had a whole lake in the back. He had four rivers running in the garden. And then God gave Adam the instructions, not Eve, so he can know more Bible than his wife. So when she came on the scene, she can see a man that she can respect and follow. Because when God said in the Bible for a woman to respect a man, he wasn't just saying that for a man. He was saying that for a woman because a woman gets unlocked when she respects her man.
Come on.
She won't ever sleep with me. She don't respect you.
Ooh.
And she don't respect you because you don't respect God.
Oh, my God.
You're
preaching.
So the thing about a woman is this. Never forget it. Men ask this question all the time. Man, she like dated this guy and he was just no good. She did more for him than she do for me. And she says she loved me more than she loved him. Yeah, because she probably respected him and she don't respect you.
Ooh.
A woman will do more for a man she respects. She could kind of love you. And if she respects you, she will climb to the top of a mountain. She can love you with all her heart. She don't respect you. She like, boy, bye. So you need her to respect you, but in order for her to respect you, you have to be respectable.
Ooh.
And in order to be respectable, you have to respect God.
Ooh.
And follow God and let God lead you. Then you can properly lead her.
Come on.
And all the women said,
amen.
Okay, next question.
How can I submit to someone that doesn't submit to the Lord?
We answered that, so next question.
Okay. What advice would you give a person that's freshly out of a divorce?
Heal. Because I've heard divorced people say that divorce is like the second worst thing after death. It's the death of a relationship. And here's the deal. It's actually harder to deal with a divorce than a spouse that died. Because when your spouse died, they were buried and that's it. But that divorced person, he resurrect at Walmart. He resurrect at the mall. She resurrect Friday when she got to pick up the kids. Like, you just keep resurrecting. My God, I can't put you away. How are we divorced and I still got to fight with you?
Oh, man.
I got to coordinate with you and we're divorced? So again, divorce is a death that keeps dying. Mm. Because it's a chapter, it's a bad chapter you can't tear out. Ooh. Especially if kids are involved. So I would say as a divorced person, I would focus on healing.
On.
Because if you don't heal from what hurt you, you'll bleed on those that didn't cut you. And you would take the trauma from your divorce to your new relationship, which may lead that to a divorce.
Oh.
So heal. Heal. If you're divorced, heal. And if you are divorced and you're looking for a relationship, that's a sign you are broken.
Uh-oh.
And that's a sign you don't want to do the work to properly heal. Because if you got divorced, you shouldn't even want nobody right now. You should only want to heal and grow and restore.
Come on.
And let me tell you the problem with most relationships. The problems with most relationships is you're actually not dating your spouse honestly.
Ooh.
Let me explain it. What happens is when we don't heal, we transfer. So what ends up happening in so many relationships is this is why your relationship is all out of order, because it's not a new relationship. It's an old relationship with two new people.
Wow.
So what you have to begin to do is you have to heal, because if you don't heal, you're now going to just bring that same mindset, that same attitude and those same frustrations into your new relationship. And let me tell you what frustrates women. Let me talk to you guys for a second. Let me tell you what frustrates a man. Here's what frustrates a man. And this will lock your man up. Is nothing frustrates a man more than him feeling like his wife or his girlfriend isn't dating him.
Uh-oh.
Let me explain. Women have this ability where they can date a title, not a person.
Ooh.
See, on, I don't need you dating the ideal of me, I need you dating me.
Yeah.
So there are so many women, they'll date a man and then sleep with him. Why are you sleeping with me? We just met each other because I asked you out.
Ooh.
See, you're not sleeping with me. You're actually sleeping with them to me.
Ooh.
I'm getting deep now.
You're getting deep.
Because see, what's happening is you've been trained to sleep with who you date. So now since you date me, you can sleep with me, but I haven't earned that yet.
Ooh.
So many times in relationships, you over here moving in my house. You don't even know me like that. You cooking my groceries. You're acting like a wife to me and you're just a girlfriend to me. But you're acting like a wife because you was like that with someone else. And now you brought that baggage here and it looks good and it feels good. But you're not doing that for the person. You're doing that for the position.
Ooh. Pastor.
See, I don't need you to love me positionally. I need you to love me personally.
Come on.
I need you to cook because I served you.
Come on.
I need you to cook because I honored you. I need you to cook because I loved you, not because you cook for your boo. Because see, as a man, I'm never going to be content with you, because I know that if I no longer wear that title, I don't eat no more.
Ooh.
You're not feeding me, you're feeding a label.
Oh my gosh. That's good.
So you have to heal, because if you don't heal, you would transfer. And what happens is you keep having these accelerated relationships because the first one never ended. I'm at your house right now. I'm at your house right now. So what I need to happen in relationships, this is why singleness is so important for a season, is I need what you were in to die. I need you to heal. I need God to restore that, to make it whole, to make it new. So when you come to me, I want to start at ground zero. A man doesn't want something he didn't earn. I don't want you to say yes because I proposed. So many women, I'm like, they'll get engaged. I'm like, oh, well, why did you get engaged? They're like, because he asked. Okay. You can say no because he asked.
Yes.
But you said yes because you didn't know how to say no, because you took everything you've ever done in the past and brought it to this current relationship. Heal, heal, heal. You have to heal, because if you don't heal, you will always bring your past trauma and your loyalties and your experience to your new relationship.
Mm.
Next question.
I've been in a relationship for many years and I don't know if I should stay in it. What's your steps? They're not a man of God. To get out, or should I stay?
Okay, it's a relationship. Should you stay in it? Here's what I would do. It will be time for a very serious conversation. I will sit down with that person and have a very serious conversation about your expectation. Because when you're married, you can't actually have, like, you can't say, oh, if you don't do this, I'm leaving you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that when you're married. But while you're dating, you can clarify your parameters for a marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So I would sit down with that person and say, hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is my value. This is what I believe. This is my Jesus, and I will serve him all the days of my life. And if you can't follow Jesus too, we're unequally yoked. We don't. Jesus said, what does light and darkness have in common? If you guys don't have the same values, you're going to confuse the children. Because one of you guys are saying pray, and then the other person is saying you got this. And that's conflicting for a child.
Yeah.
They need to know, do I trust God or do I trust myself? And we know as believers, you trust God. So again, if you guys don't share values, see, people get together because we like the same stuff and we both watch this TV show and we both like to go travel and be adventurous. You're not looking for people that share your interests. You're looking for people that share your values. Your number one value is Christ. It's a non-negotiable. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Can't do it. Can't do it. There will be forever tension, and now you have a curse on your home because your unbelieving spouse brought it in.
Ooh.
Can't do it. Next.
Next one. Why is submission so hard?
That's a loaded question. I preached in the first series of this is submission is actually a beautiful position to lead and to influence your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So submission is only hard for one or two reasons. One reason is because you're probably struggling with independent syndrome.
Mm.
And what happens for a woman is this: in society, we teach women, especially single women, it's almost like because we're single, we have to find a way to like backhand a relationship. I don't need no man. I'm single. I-N-D-E-N-D-T. Do you know what that means? Got my own house, got my own car. Like, and we cultivate this single energy. And if you don't know that, don't know it. I don't know why I know it, and I shouldn't know it. Please don't judge me. So what we end up doing is we, as single, especially sometimes single women, we create this thing on the inside of us where I'm independent, I'm single, I'm strong, I don't need him. I got my own job, I make my own money, I got my own education. And it's like, that's very unattractive to a man.
Mm-mm.
Because a man wants to feel needed.
Come on.
He's designed to protect. He's designed to cover. He's designed to be needed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much you un-incentivize your man by saying, I don't need you?
Ooh.
Like women, he was designed to be your hero. He was designed to be your knight in shining armor. Like even there's some women sometimes where it's like you miss so many opportunities to minister to your husband because he's trying to provide for you and you won't let him.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm gonna take care of it, honey, and I'm gonna load it for you. I load it up myself. You are killing his incentive.
Come on.
Let him. I know he's gonna put the bags in sideways, and I know they're gonna be crooked, but let him do it. Baby, I'll go to Walmart for you. Nah, because you get the wrong. Just eat the wrong cheese tonight. Let him go to Walmart. We know he get the wrong cheese every time. I gotta help my husband because he bought the wrong cereal. It's $4. You will live.
Yeah.
Let him have the off-brand. It's $4.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is some good cereal. Then next time, hey, I'm gonna send you a picture next time.
Yeah.
You're great, baby. Here's a picture. Mash that up.
Come on.
Bring that one home. Great job, honey.
Send him the
killing
aisle number.
Awesome.
Help him out. Come on.
You know, and then if he just still can't get it, do a Walmart pickup and let him go get that. You can't mess that up. My
That's
God.
The one.
So, what was the question again? I don't know if I answered it.
Why is submission so hard?
Yeah, so I think sometimes as a woman, you have this independent syndrome, and sometimes you have to understand something, that there's a difference between a wild stallion and a horse that's been broken.
Mm.
They can have the same might, the same power, the same strength, but the stallion can't be used because it's wild and it's unsubmitted and it's untrained. But the horse that's the horse that's been broken, it has the same power and same strength, but it's submitted power.
Ooh.
It's submitted strength. And the best strength is submitted strength because it takes courage to stand up and speak, but it also takes courage to sit down and shut
come
up.
Come on.
It takes strength to be quiet. It takes strength to be silent. So don't just think strength is being out front or domineering. Sometimes it takes strength to be passive.
Ooh, come on.
If you're a dominant person, your strength is seen in your submission. And if you're a submissive person, your strength is seen in your dominance. So just because you're strong doesn't mean you're not submitted. And if your husband isn't somebody that's respectable or easy to submit to, you need to put him into an environment so where he can become respectable. And men of God, let me tell you this. You want to be respectable because when God told her to respect you, she would need respect because that respect would unlock her, would give her an honor. She was supposed to live in awe of you. She's supposed to be in awe of you. And my mama taught me some things that was really good. Shout out to my mama. I know she's watching. Good to see you, woman of God. But my mama taught me something before I got married. She said, I want to tell you something. She's like, now, you ain't going to want to hear this, but hear this. She's like, I got some marriage advice for you, and I need you to hear me good. I'm like, okay, mama, what's up? She was like, hear me good. So what's up? She said, take a shower every night. And I'm like, okay. And she was like, don't get so comfortable having your hair down with your wife. Because here's what we say about our spouses. Come on, we're all guilty of it. You're the only person I care about. You're the only person I want to impress and look good for. But you put on makeup, get your hair done for everybody else. Uh-oh. And then you come home and look like I don't know what for me. So is that true? Because you don't care how I see you. But yeah, you cute for everybody. Like, you look good at church Sunday. What you look like Saturday night? What you gonna look like tonight? Now, I'm not saying have this unrealistic thing where you have to get dressed going to bed. That's nonsense. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying that have an honor and respect for your spouse. You have men, and men, you guys struggle with this. Man, my wife don't want to sleep with me. Why would she? You got hair growing out your nose. You got hair on your neck, hair coming out your ears, dirty fingernails, and you ain't brushed your teeth almost. So what's up, baby? Nothing is up. Nothing at all. Of course she's sleepy. You stink. What do you want her to do? Oh, you want her to tell you this so you can have an attitude all week? And walk around acting like a baby? No, she's going to go to bed on you.
You are funny.
As she should.
Oh, my God.
Take the advice my mom gave. Clip your nails, brush your teeth, and take a bath.
That's it.
And watch the miracles that unleash in your home.
Get a haircut.
You'd be like, there's a God somewhere. Amen. So, again, men, keep yourself groomed.
Yeah.
So I remember one time my wife, she was with a bunch of girls from church. Not this church, but a different church we used to go to. And I was overhearing their conversation. And I remember I was listening. And they all was talking about how bad their husbands think. They was like, oh, he don't never take a bath. And he's just this. And they were just going in. And his hands are rough. And he needs a manicure, a pedicure. They're just going in. And then my wife was like, well, my husband always smelled good. I never smelled him smelling bad. And she's bragging on me. All the girls is there. And all like, oh, my gosh. He needs to talk to our husbands. And I'm like, yes.
I get it.
And then I realized something. I'm like, the husbands of these women have no idea they feel this way. That's an awkward conversation. Keep yourself up for your spouse. Keep yourself up. You love them. And let me tell you something, women. Men are visually stimulated. They are visually stimulated. See, okay.
Come on.
If I'm going to tell a man how to make a woman happy, and I'm going to tell a woman how to make a man happy. Mm-hmm. Okay, now this is a little rated R, so if you got kids, plug their ears up. So again, if you ain't married, this ain't for you. But if you want to make a woman happy, love her, comfort her, be there for her, serve her, do what she needs to do, encourage her, always have her back, hear her, listen to her, travel with her, walk with her, hold her hand, watch TV with her, have girl talk with her, walk the dog with her. Understand her, hear her, laugh at her Facebook videos. Like just make sure she get her hair done, her toes done. Just be there for her. Make sure her car's clean. They got gas in it. There's groceries in the house. All of that.
Come on.
If you want to make a man happy, come to bed naked with food. That's it. That's it.
Oh my God.
That's all. I'm gonna get in trouble, ain't I?
You'll be fine.
That's it. We're
talking to married couples.
That's simple. That's simple, right?
This is only for married folks.
Now again, and all the fellas in a room said, okay, I'm not up here preaching heresy.
Married guys.
This is for married people, amen? Amen. So again, I'm just telling you that your man is visually stimulated. And men, they don't want much. They want to be respected.
Yeah.
They want to be honored. They want their wife to be their best friend and to be their companion. And they want you to make them look good around other people.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about your husband. A major key. If you can make him look good around his friends and his family, he will love you to the ends of the earth,
yep,
back and back to the ends of the earth. Don't embarrass him. You're to honor him. You're to make his name great. You're to make others admire him.
That's
and Pastor Tish does the best job in the world at that.
Come on.
I've never heard her say anything degrading towards me.
You're not.
Not once. And I'm sure she had opportunities to, but not once. So women, again, be very intentional. Because what you don't know about your husband is this. There's a better man inside of him than the one
come
you
on,
see.
Come on, come on.
And there is abilities for you to unlock things in him you've never seen, but you have not seen that version of him because you're always belittling him and crushing him and suppressing him.
Ooh.
Let me tell you the difference. A man operates great under praise.
Yeah.
Men do everything for honor. They operate great under praise. If you would praise him, he will slap a bear.
Yeah.
If you degrade him, he will run from it.
Mm.
Build him with your honor. And let me tell you something about women. Women need security.
Mm-hmm.
They need security. You have to make sure that you secure her.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about security is this. A woman unlocks when she's safe. Which means that she's worried about money and bills. You don't have a plan. You don't have a vision. She feels in danger. She doesn't have security. The reason why God didn't create Eve into the garden and everything was finished, because he knew she would need security to be unlocked.
Come on.
If your woman is locked up, she's insecure. And until she is safe, all the things you're asking out of her, she can't flow in until she feels safety and comfort.
Come on.
Okay? So if you would provide for her, make sure everything is said. That's not a lot of money. That's a plan. That's a vision.
Come on,
a purpose. That's making sure everything is in order. If you would provide that, you would see a woman you've never seen before. Amen?
Amen.
Next.
For someone who struggles with healthy boundaries, where do we suggest they start with healthy boundaries?
Okay. If someone struggles with healthy boundaries, so what you have to do is this. I think that's great self-awareness because you know yourself. So when you get into a dating relationship, you have to set those boundaries within yourself in that person, right? You have to set those boundaries up front. So you have to be like, hey, you have to have a plan. So let me just say this for the people that's dating in the room or aspiring to date. Do you know dating isn't in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. In the Bible, there's this thing called courting, but there's not dating. Because most of what we do in dating is pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Dating is rehearsed trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Most of you guys are broken in pieces because of dating.
God.
It's reverse trauma. And many of you guys, well, how am I supposed to know I'm supposed to marry if I don't date? Do you know that where marriages was arranged, 95% of them succeeded?
Yeah.
Only when people started dating and picking their spouse,
uh-oh,
one out of two divorce.
Uh-oh.
So let me just teach you a couple things that makes dating so dangerous. And I know you guys have dated, so this will probably be a sad point in the church because you probably dropped this ball, but it's okay. Here's how God designed relationship to work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He designed it, and I answered the boundaries question, but God designed relationship to work like this. You would not date until you met your spouse, and you would marry them, and you would date them and
mm-hmm.
marry them. Like, see, the thing is, men treat marriage as a finish line.
Ooh.
Marriage isn't a finish line, it's a starting point.
Ooh.
You dated her to get her to say yes. Now you don't take her out no more. Now you don't buy her food no more. Now you don't serve her. You didn't date her to just end that marriage. You start at marriage. The relationship don't even start till you get married. So you don't need to date her to marry her. You need to marry her to date her.
Yeah.
You actually date in marriage, not before it. So what you have to end up doing is this, is you were supposed to not be with anyone until you found your spouse. And here's why. It's because your past relationships is what hurts your current ones.
Mm.
It's what's ruining the sex and the intimacy in your home is is his past sexual experiences. See, he got all this crazy stuff that he experienced, and now when you don't live up to that expectation, you get compared to that, and now he's sexually frustrated because he had experiences he should have never had.
Wow.
And this is why God didn't design us to have these experiences, because we bring these experiences into our marriage, and when our marriage falls short of the experiences we have, now we're frustrated, and we're putting demands on people Ooh. Based on appetites we should have never awakened. So now we have all these awakened appetites that we're trying to deal with inside of marriage. And the thing is, we have to learn how to communicate, because here's the deal. One of the reasons why sex locks up inside of a marriage is a woman does not have the ability to tell a man she's unsatisfied. She just doesn't have that ability. I would say if there is a sexual breakdown in your marriage, because sex is important in your marriage, there needs to be communication, honest communication. If you're a woman, very, very careful communication, because his ego is as fragile as an egg. So be very careful, but these conversations have to happen, because if they don't, what we do as married people is we withdraw when we have unmet needs. Just being honest, no, this is a little real, a little rated R, but I want to help somebody in marriage. And I know these are real problems you guys deal with, because I cancel all the time. Mm-hmm. So again, you was never supposed to have all this experience. So now you come into this marriage with all this experience, and your experience is dividing you. What I would say is you need to get healed. You need to have a season of singleness. You need to get delivered, and you need to not transfer from a past relationship. You need to put all that behind you and come into a new, fresh start. Mm.
So good.
Okay. And far as healthy boundaries, you need to communicate those on the front end. So from the beginning of the relationship, hey, at a certain time, hey, we're going to end it. If the movie's still going, we're going to pause it. Hey, we're going to respect certain times. Hey, we're not going to be alone unless it's just us two together. And we set up all these healthy boundaries. And if you are someone that keep violating boundaries, there's brokenness in you that needs to be healed before you ever think about dating anyway.
That's good.
So you have to make, like, if you need a man, you don't need a man. Mm-mm. If you need a woman, you don't need a woman. Because you're wondering why someone won't value you, it's because you're living on clearance.
Pastor. Oh my gosh.
We're going to leave that there. Let's go to the next one.
How does your marriage thrive when you haven't been able to give your whole heart to your spouse?
Okay, so you haven't been able to give your whole heart to your spouse because pieces of your heart is probably somewhere else. And it's okay. It happens. It's okay. You have to get those pieces back. You have to get the pieces of your heart back. You have to fully heal. Trauma doesn't move out. It has to be evicted.
Come on.
So it's the traumas you went through that's triumphing your relationship. So if you're not able to give them your full heart, you got to ask the question, is it brokenness in me, or is it broken trust in them?
Ooh.
If it's broken trust in them, if your spouse has broken your trust, you guys need to create a restoration plan. Maybe you need to meet with someone to get help, or maybe you guys can talk or help yourselves, whatever. Create a restoration plan. Whatever trust has been broken, it can be re-earned and regained. There has to be a plan, expectations, accountabilities, and boundaries. Get that trust restored, then you can give your whole heart. And if it's on you, because your heart is in other pieces, you need to get your heart back. Because every person you've ever been with, you leave fragments of yourself with them. And this is why we was not designed to date around and talk around. Ooh. And see, we date around because of trauma. Do you know that every person that's promiscuous are always deeply wounded people?
Yeah.
You only find promiscuous people deeply wounded because they're looking for sex to fix something that's been broken.
Ooh.
But the only problem is sex breaks it deeper.
Ooh.
It breaks it deeper. Sex can't fix anything. And many women have sex with a man because she has nothing else to offer. She don't have conversation. Ooh. She can't speak into him. She can't build him up. She can't strengthen him. So all she has to offer is her body.
Jesus.
And your body is the last thing you should be giving a man. It's the last thing you should be giving a man for value, honor, and respect. No, you got my prayers, man of God. No, you got the scriptures I got for you. My encouragement, my praise. Oh, come on, I'm a kingmaker. Go, come on, women of God. Oh, come on. You can put 10,000 to flight with me by your side. So what happens is when we when we don't foster true intimacy, we settle for the cheap imitation, and that's sex. Ooh. Sex is a cheap imitation of intimacy, because you can have sex and not have intimacy. Ooh. And you can have intimacy and not have sex.
My God.
So you're supposed to have intimacy. Mm-hmm. And if you had intimacy, you wouldn't have to sleep with everybody.
Yeah.
A man, if you can be intimate with a man without sex, he'll wait.
Mm.
But if you can't be intimate, say you lack dexterity and depth. You can't talk. You don't have deep conversations. You can't stimulate him mentally. So all you have to offer is your body.
Come on, man.
But it was never supposed to be that way. You were supposed to have true intimacy. I'm going to teach you a little bit about intimacy. What does intimacy mean? Intimacy is, in the Bible, it comes from the word yada. And yada is a Hebrew word. It means to fully know and to fully be known. So to have intimacy means to fully know and to fully be known. So what it means is this. You have the ability to connect at such a deep level that your spouse can fully know you, and you can be fully known by your spouse. So there's this connection. There's this knitting of hearts, the cleaving, the two becoming one, where they can see inside of your soul and you can see inside of theirs. And there's this deep connection, this oneness, this cleaving, this deep, deep, deep connection. And when you have that, you don't need sex, because guess what? That's not sexual. Intimacy is not a sexual word. Now, intimacy can be found in sex if everything else is right, but it's not a sexual word, because that same word, yada, it was used in the context of sex with Adam and Eve, but the same word, yada, was actually used when God was talking about you. When the Bible says, he knew you when you were in your mother's womb. It said he knew you. He knew you, yada. He knew you deeply. He knew your heart, your intents, your motives, your purpose. Do you have a man that fully knows you? Do you have a woman that fully knows you, the depths of your heart, the desires of your heart? That's what intimacy is. It means, intimacy means into me see. That you can see into me and I can see into you. It means to fully know. It means to be naked and unashamed. Mm-hmm. See, I'm going to show you something in the Bible. Can I stand up a little bit to preach this?
Come on.
I'm going to show you something in the Bible.
Go.
In the Bible, there's a scripture, and it said that when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden tree, they knew they were naked. They were ashamed. They covered themselves with fig leaves. Mm-hmm. And then they hid from God. God's like, why are you hiding from me? They said, because we were naked. Mm-hmm. God said, who told you that? Now, we always thought that it was the devil that told them, you naked. We thought the devil told them, but we didn't go back and read the top of the chapter. Ooh. See, in the top of the chapter, it says that Adam was with his wife. They were naked and unashamed. So they were naked with no shame. God created a marriage with perfect intimacy. Intimacy means to be naked with no shame. Many of you guys are naked to your spouse because you're full of shame.
Ooh.
So what happened was, when they ate from the forbidden tree, all of a sudden they was like, oh my gosh, we're naked. They sold fig leaves and they were full of shame. Ooh. Let me tell you who told them they were naked. It was shame. Shame will always tell you you're naked. It will say you're naked, you're not enough, you can't be loved, you can't be trusted, no one cares about you. And all of a sudden, when they ate from the forbidden tree, their eyes opened to good and evil, and the evil that came to them was shame. And shame said you're naked, you're uncovered, you're not enough. And now we go around in our marriages and we feel naked and uncovered, so now we can't open up and be fully known by our spouses because we're sowing fig leaves in our marriage, covering ourselves and hiding. And God is saying, come out of hiding. Don't hide when it comes to me. Don't hide when it comes to your spouse. God said, take off those fig leaves, because they wasn't designed to cover you. I was designed to cover you. God brought animal skins and he covered them. And then Jesus, down the line, came on the scene. He saw a fig tree and he cursed it. And the reason why he cursed the fig tree, because he was cursing religion. He was saying, fig tree, you tried to cover the people of God. I'm here to cover them now. So intimacy means to be naked and unashamed. That's not just physically, that's emotionally. See, you got frustrations with your spouse, you can't even tell them because you still got shame. You're unhappy, you can't communicate it because you're still full of shame. You're frustrated, you can't speak your mind, you're full of shame. Intimacy means into me see. Here's my truth. In other words, We shouldn't be clothed by the fig leaves and the lies. We should actually stand in naked truth. And that is intimacy, the ability to stand in naked truth. But when shame comes, shame causes us to be aware of our deficiencies and sow fig leaves. So intimacy. You was designed to have intimacy, and most people have sex and never experience intimacy. And we have sex looking for intimacy only to walk away more empty than we were before we ever laid down. More hurt, more broken, more wounded. Intimacy. That's what you were designed to have. And I'm going to tell you why you don't have intimacy. I want to show you some of the scripture. Genesis 2. You guys enjoying this?
Yes.
Genesis 2, verse 24 to 25. And many people read this scripture, but you missed it. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So this is God's plan. Look at the plan of God. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh. They were both naked. Why would God put this there? He's saying, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They had perfect intimacy. This is what God was saying. Now, you have to see something so powerful. You have to see the root of their relationship. See, the root of your marriage ain't you and your spouse meeting. The root and the foundation of your marriage is your parents. Mm-mm. See, look at where the marriage started. It didn't start with Adam and Eve. It started with father and mother. Ooh. It said you have to leave. Why would you have to leave your parents? It's because God first designed you to cleave to your parents. Mm. Don't those babies just cleave to you?
Yeah.
So you were supposed to be cleaved to your parents. Then when you met a spouse, you were now released to leave what you was cleaved to.
Wow.
Then you were supposed to leave the cleavement of your parents, and then you were supposed to go and cleave to your wife. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. The problem is, most of you guys was never cleaved to your parents because they were the ones that broke you.
Oh my God.
And most people that had a broken home or came from broken parents or broken relationships with their parents, those are always troubled people in marriages and relationships.
Yeah.
They're always troubled. Haven't you noticed, like, if you find a woman that had a father, a present good father, she's different than a woman that didn't have one, always.
Yeah.
Because the woman that didn't have dad there is more broken than the woman that did.
Yeah.
And the man that didn't have dad and mom there, he's more broken than the man that did.
Yeah.
And let me explain why. It's because the foundation of a woman's opposite sex love was her dad. Her dad was supposed to be the first man she would ever love and have intimacy with, non-sexual. And that would be the launching pad for every other male relationship she would have. But what happened when dad didn't love her? What he did was he broke intimacy inside of her. So then she had an intimacy deficiency. So she came to a relationship with an intimacy deficiency with a guy that had a broken intimacy, which means he had an intimacy deficiency.
Wow.
And they couldn't give each other intimacy. They couldn't be naked and unashamed.
Wow.
They couldn't fully know each other. So they just slept with each other and left the bed empty.
My God.
And this is why people are promiscuous. It's because I'm looking for more and I can't find it. I'm looking for more. I'm looking for a connection. I'm trying to feel something. I was told if I did this, I would feel something, and I still feel nothing. But now all of a sudden I got soul ties and I'm tied to stuff. And this is a woman. So her dad was supposed to love her. He was supposed to say, baby girl, you are beautiful. There is none like you. There's no one like you on the earth. You matter. So when that little knucklehead boy said she wasn't enough, she was like, boy, bye.
Yeah.
My daddy said I'm a queen. And if you don't think I'm a queen, I'm going to wait until I find a man that thinks I'm a queen.
Come on.
But because daddy didn't validate her, when he said, you ain't a queen, she was like, why not? And now all of a sudden, she's taking abuse from someone she should have cut off, but she didn't have the strength to cut him off because she needed his affirmation because dad never gave it to her. And now you have the same thing with boys, that a man's first love with a woman should be his mother.
Yeah.
Should be his mother. I'm telling you, before you marry a man, doesn't mean he can't get it fixed, but you want to check his relationship with his mother.
Yeah.
Because a man's mom is his foundation to a woman's love.
Yeah.
See, I provide for my wife and my daughter, and I lay my life down for them because I've been like this since I was a baby towards my mom.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was the first woman I ever loved. When I was eight, I would have dreams about getting her a house and protecting my mom. And my mom affirmed me. See, sometimes moms, you can create a mama's boy too.
Wow.
And that's problematic because now you got an affection with your mom that's actually getting in the way of your affection with your wife.
Uh-oh, come on.
If mom did it right, you would actually be able to leave mom and cleave to wife. But if you can't leave mom didn't set you up properly, okay? My mom was aiming me to be a man.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a little kid, she'd be like, hey, what place you think we should live in? I would pick one and she would move there. She would ask me serious questions.
Mm-hmm.
It made me responsible, strong. It made me a foundation and a tower for those I would be connected with because I was that for my mom.
Yeah.
My mom respected me.
Yeah.
She would come to me when I was 15 years old. She'd be like, there's no man like you. You're a good man. Whoever marries you is lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could have a husband like my son. My mom would say those kind of things to me. So when I found a woman that wasn't reciprocating that energy, adios. Adios, amigo. I had high standards, very high standards, because my mom was the foundation of romance for me.
Yeah.
She was the first woman I ever loved. So if a man didn't have a healthy relationship with his mother, he's going to have weird energy towards women.
Mm.
Weird energy towards women. So here's what happens. So when this has been broken, what do you do?
Yeah.
The first thing you do is you let God heal the trauma.
Mm.
Number one. Then secondly, you have to go back and get a father figure and a mother figure. Somebody that loves you, that don't want nothing from you, especially not sexually. And they don't want nothing from you, but something for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can have that person in your life, they can now begin to minister to the intimacy fractures that your parents inflicted on you.
Good.
Because if you're promiscuous, you're falling for everything, you're sleeping with everybody, you are broken, my friend.
Mm. Yeah.
You're broken. And broken people break people.
Ooh, come on.
And healed people heal people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So can I get a little deeper?
Yeah, come on.
I'm going to get a little deeper. When we did not have the proper affection from our parents and the proper validation, it bleeds out in all kind of ways. You want to know why he just sleeps with everybody? Because he lacks identity.
Oh.
So he's trying to prove to himself he's a man, and he does that with a bedroom. But a real man doesn't need a bedroom to make him a man, because he was a man before he ever got to a bedroom. My character makes me a man, not a bedroom. So again, we have to grow, we have to develop ourselves, and we have to develop our intimacy back, which means into me see. Okay?
How do I break a soul tie?
Woo-wee! Oh my gosh. Okay. This is really good. I gotta hit this one. I'll probably close soon after.
Okay.
How do you break a soul tie? Let me tell you what a soul tie is, because it could be a churchy word. Whenever you get, soul ties don't just come through sex. You can get soul ties through sex, and I'm going to really deal with this. In September, I'm going to do a relationship series. I might do something in the summer. We're going to really get deep into this, but you get a soul tie by being around someone a lot, conversations with someone a lot, opening up, sharing things, having intimate conversations. Like, you have to be very careful, even in conversations sometimes, because the right conversations can create soul ties.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some questions that people may ask you that you may need to be careful of.
Yeah.
Like you know, what hurt you? When people start digging down your old pains and traumas and wounds, what it does is it creates something called trauma bonding.
Uh-oh.
And it creates soul ties.
Uh-oh.
So again, if you're like with a guy and he starts asking you questions like, so where have you been hurt and where have you been broken and what have you been through? It could be a form of manipulation, because what happens is when someone exposes your wounds, if they have bad motive, they can latch onto your wounds and create a soul tie.
Uh-huh.
That's number one. Number two, you create a soul tie through sex. The Bible says when you have sex, the two becomes one. And what it does is it ties your mind together, your emotions together, your decisions and your wills. That's why when you sleep with somebody, no matter how stupid you and everybody else know it is that you keep going back to this person, something keeps pulling you back, and it keeps pulling you back because you're actually tied and snatched by this soul tie.
Wow.
Right? So how do we break this soul tie? Couple ways. So first thing, you have to break it in the spirit. You have to go in the spiritual realm. You have to pray. You have to come to an altar, get prayer. You got to denounce it, break it in the spirit. I don't want this. I denounce this. I want no parts of this. God, untie me with this person. And then you have to break it mentally. So now you're having thoughts about this person. And now you have to start casting down these thoughts and these imaginations. You have to break it emotionally, which means when you feel yourself emotionally getting pulled towards them, you have to pull yourself back. Don't lean into those emotions. I just miss them. Let me text them. Don't text them. Don't text them. Hold out. Don't text. Don't reach out. Don't lean back in, because you have to now detox your emotions from this person, because they became your drug.
Wow.
When you've been soul tied with someone, when that person separates, the effect is the same as an addiction. It's like walking away from alcohol or pills or drugs. Ooh. So this person is an addiction now. And you have to break that addiction the same way you would break a regular addiction, because you're used to them. Your body forms around them. And you have to cut that off spiritually and practically.
Come on.
And you have to renew your mind, renew your emotions, reset yourself, and take a season to heal, and do it by prayer and fasting. That's how you break a soul tie. But let me tell you something. That soul tie, some of you guys have been abused, and some of you guys have been molested. Some of you guys have been hurt. You have to break these soul ties. But let me show you what I have found in the church and in the world, because I do a lot of counseling. And what I found is this. Most people don't want to heal.
Getting real now.
They don't want to heal. Very rare. Do you know, in all of my years of pastoring, I could count on one hand how many people, one hand, I've counseled and sat down with at least 1,000 people, at least, at a minimum. And I could count, not on one hand, forget that, three fingers, how many people I sat across where I feel like this person really wants to change. 3 out of 1,000, where I felt, not that kind of want to change, kind of want to get better, kind of, No, I'm talking want out, like want to actually like go after it. 3 out of 1,000.
My God.
Out of 1,000 people I talked to, minister to, altars, 3 probably out of 1,000. Most people don't want to heal, and I'm gonna tell you why they don't want to heal. They rather settle for the cheap imitation of concealing. People rather conceal than heal. People rather look whole than actually get whole. They will spend way more energy looking delivered than getting delivered. It's way easier to actually get delivered. But let me tell you when you don't heal from what hurt you, you'll bleed on those that didn't cut you. Also, trauma doesn't move out. It has to be evicted. It's not going to leave on its own. So here's what people do. There's something that's called the nuclear waste in Idaho. So in Idaho, they had all these bad chemicals and these bad toxins. And they had this nuclear waste, and it would cost, I don't know, roughly about $10 million to get this waste properly disposed and get this waste properly rid of. It would cost about $10 million to do it the right way, to get rid of the waste the right way. So in Idaho, somebody had a bright idea. They was like, man, $10 is a little over the budget of what we're trying to spend right now. We're going to spend $1 million, and we're going to just dig out in the middle of nowhere in Idaho. We're going to just dig, and we're going to dump all the waste in the ground. And when it's going to cost us $1 million to dump all this waste, we save $9 million. Brilliant plan, until it wasn't. Because what happened is, as years went by, those toxins in the ground begin to spread all throughout the soil in Idaho. And all of the vegetation was contaminated by the toxins and the waste stored into the ground. Ooh. What they buried came back up in their vegetation. Now, it cost them $54 million to go back and correct their mistake. They could have paid $10 million, but they didn't want to pay $10 million. They paid $1 million, and now they had to come back and pay $54 million to fix what they buried. And we do the same thing with our trauma. We go and we bury our trauma, our brokenness, and our abuse, and all of a sudden it starts bleeding out in the vegetation of our life, in the vegetation of how we parent our kids, in the vegetation of our marriage, and now we have to go back and fix something that's all over our heart and all over our relationships, and it's going to be expensive when you could have dealt with it the first time. And this is what we do as people. We don't want to heal from what hurt us. We prefer to bleed on those that didn't cut us. And you have to do the work. You have to do the work. You have to do the work. How do you know you don't want to heal? Holding it tight, getting offended, can't be spoken into, letting it go. You know when somebody don't want to heal because you cancel and then no one heard from you for another year. We know you're not keeping this up. You needed to come back for part two, but you didn't because you just started digging. And we bury our traumas, and when our traumas is buried, they will always bleed out. So what you have to do, my friend, what you have to do is you have to put in the work to actually heal. You can't bear. Maybe you've been molested. You can't bury that. Maybe, man of God, you've been promiscuous and you slept with everything walking. You can't bury that. You have to deal with it. You have to look in the mirror and deal with it. What you have to do is you have to face it. But before you can face it, you got to find it. Find it. You have to find your trauma. Then you have to face your trauma. Then you have to fix your trauma. Then you have to forgive your trauma so you don't keep reliving your trauma.
Come on.
I did a podcast session today because I knew this would be too deep in the sermon. I'm going to take one more question and we're going to get ready to shut it down.
Okay, this one's kind of funny. How to move from a situationship into a relationship.
Can we go to the next question? I'm not even going to entertain that. Get out your situationship and heal for a season.
How do you truly know when you're ready for a relationship?
You know when you're truly ready for a relationship a couple ways. A, you don't want one in a healthy way. It's healthy. It's like, of course, we all desire to be married and have our spouse, but when you don't want a relationship in this healthy way where you're just like, man, I am enjoying my singleness. Like, I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time. I'm happy. And I'm who I want to be. Mm-hmm. As a single, I would ask myself this question. Did I become the best version of myself with the amount of time I had to be single?
Wow. Good.
Did I? Because what happens is when you get in a relationship, here's what people do not know. The speed of growth divides by 10. See, many of you guys leaving you single because you move way faster single. That's like if I went outside, if I wanted to run the Big Lots and back, I can get there pretty quick. But imagine if you tied me up with another person. Man, first we're going to trap. We're going to trip, fall on our face. Like, move. No, stop. We're going to fight. It'll probably take an hour to get the Big Lots and back tied to another person. I could run there alone in a minute. So when you get with somebody and you get married and you get kids, you don't have much time to heal. First, you got these kids. Ah, mama, food, hungry. Go here, go there, pick up the kids. Ah, like you don't have time to grow. Mm-hmm. What you are is what you are. You can grow a little bit, but when you are single, you can move at crazy rates. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there is benefit to marriage because I will say this. It's like traveling on a trip. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Ooh.
So you go further married, but you go faster single. Right? So while you're single, did you accomplish the season of singlehood?
Good.
And then the second thing is this. What does the people around you think? Do they think you need to be in a... No, you know people, they'll just put you in a relationship because they just... Girl, you still single? Boy, you still single? No, I'm talking about, what does that think? Like, credible people. Like, dude, hey, I would talk to people. Like, I remember before I got married, I remember I called a couple of my leaders. I was like, hey, do you think I should marry her? I should get married. And they was like, yeah, of course. And then I remember talking to Pastor Steve. I'll never forget. I was like, hey, Pastor, can you, like, be real? Because people lie to you at first. They just give you the lie answer. Because people want to tell you what you want to hear, especially when they know you're just going to get mad when they tell you the truth. I was like, Pastor Steve, give me the real. And he set me down, and this was before I proposed. He was like, there's two things in you that I don't think will be healthy in a marriage. Mm. He said, I want you to tackle these two things and come back in 6 months. And he said, I'll give you my blessing. Mm. And I went and I devoured those two things. But guess what? I would have never got those if I wasn't hungry for authenticity. Many of you guys don't want to know. You want someone to lie to you. You lie to yourself. You don't want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Come on.
We live in a society where we have sensitive ears, ready to bleed, ready to get offended, ready to get hurt, ready to get frustrated. Okay, cool. You're going to be the one with a broken marriage needing cancel anyway. You can deal with this on the front end or you can deal with it on the back end. Because many of you guys have to learn from experience because wisdom offended you.
Come on.
You're going to learn one way or the other. But let me tell you something about experience. It's a bloody teacher.
Pastor.
One more question and we out. One more.
How does a single person know when to trust in another person after years of broken trust?
First off, here's the deal. Just because someone else broke your trust doesn't mean you have the right to inflict that on someone else. I understand you've been hurt, but I didn't hurt you. I understand you've been lied to, but I didn't lie to you. I understand you've been let down, but I didn't let you down. I understand you've been misled, but I didn't mislead you. I need to be judged based on my actions, not your ex-boyfriend who calls himself a man because he shaves.
Good.
You see what I'm saying? So again, we have to get to a place of growth where we have to heal. Because let me tell you what... Whenever you don't heal, it creates fear. Let me give you an example. Imagine if you broke your arm. You're walking around timid and scared with that arm. Yeah. And as soon as someone reaches that, you're like, oh, I broke my arm. Don't touch it. You're walking around timid because you're wounded. Whenever we're wounded, we're timid. So if you're still timid, it's because you're still wounded. See, when this arm heals again and I start using it again and I slowly build this arm up again, I'm not afraid for someone to pull it because I know it can withstand the pull.
That's good.
Only do I get timid when I don't know if I could withstand the pull being broken. You've been broken and you need to slowly build yourself up and slowly be pulled in different relationships. So when you get in a relationship, you can withstand the pull, because I don't care who you date, what kind of person, what kind of scripture they quote. There's a faith game to this too.
Come on.
And you're going to have faith. And let me tell you something about this. And this may sound unpopular, but you walk around skeptical because you're afraid to get done wrong, hurt, cheated on, whatever you may want to call it. But it's like, why? Have you ever stopped and asked yourself why? Why are you afraid to get hurt? Why?
Come on.
Like what is it that, like, have you unpacked it? What are you actually fearing? You're like, you got hurt last time, you're still alive.
Okay.
Jesus healed you. Jesus restored you. You're stronger than you ever been. I'm not saying sign up to get hurt. I'm not saying don't be naive, not have discernment. I mean, have all that. Look under every rock at first. Like, do a resume check. I need to talk to your ex, homie. Like, what's her number? Like, we finna vet you real good. But after all that has passed, you have to have faith.
Come on.
And actually, true intimacy is giving them the right to hurt you. You don't have the right to be in a marriage and protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Why? If I'm protecting my heart, I didn't give it to you. The point of marriage is saying, hey, you're the one person I give the power
to
hurt.
That's it.
Here's my heart.
That's it.
And if you hurt me, I have to trust that the God that created me can create me, recreate me, and put me back together again. That's marriage. If you don't go into marriage like that, you will have a skeptical, suspicious, unsatisfied, insecure, checking phones, looking over the couch, messed up marriage. And you will push that person away.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing in the Bible, there's a scripture that says, what I greatly fear has come upon me. What you fear most will probably come upon you and become a self-fulfilling it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy, because your skepticism released stuff in the air that gave Satan something to grab onto and release spells inside of your marriage. That's enough. Let's play the keys. Let's pray. Hope you guys is blessed by today.
Wow, that was such a powerful message. If you would like to connect with us, or if you would like prayer, you can text us at 903-201-0606. Also, if you would like to partner with us, you can give at the link below.